I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. And as if you were here last week, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians and 15. I started this message last week, and the way it usually works, really being very evangelistic, and that's just how I am, and I know my call. Now, yes, I can mentor anybody. I mean, people are always around me, and if you're around me, you're going to get mentored in some way. I don't change. The way I am right here is the way you'll see me out there. If you get in a vehicle with me, I'm not one way here and a different person at home when no one's watching. Never been in agreement, you know. Now, with that said, I appreciate some of you that haven't been delivered from your cussing to not cuss here, you know. But start working on it, please, okay? And I think that's an important thing because in the kingdom of God, you start talking different. But not where there's guilt or condemnation, you see. And you start learning that. Well, being around me, I mean, you're going to have a bad habit to cuss in front of me. But here's the key. I want you to be who you are. I don't want you be different around me. Be who you are and let the Spirit of God change you. Say amen to that. Amen. If I don't see a change, then probably you're not going to hang out with me much. You know, because I make sure people around me and in my group are, always going forward in the kingdom of God. Not thinking of the things that are behind, but reaching forward to the mark of the high calling. And that's just who I am. But when I'm out there in the field at a steer roping, then they run to me and not away from me. Because I don't bring guilt and condemnation, and I'm here to tell you they drink. They know how to do it. And they do it good. And I'm not talking about having a glass of wine. We're not getting religious on, you know, it would be a sin for me, of course, if anybody saw me doing, you know, having a beer or whatever, because it would just turn them away. They wouldn't understand that. That's a preacher, you know. But there's no guilt and condemnation. That's between you and God. But if I see someone that just doesn't care and they're not, you know, and alcohol is really taking them over, you know, then I start going, uh-oh, you know, because I want you pursuing the kingdom of God. And trust me, any kind of alcohol, if you have enough of it, changes your thought life. And when you study it out, it's really a big part of the word called witchcraft. And I'm telling you, it makes people mad when you start talking about that alcohol stuff. I've never understood that a bit. Because I've never seen anything good come from alcohol. I just haven't. But I've seen a lot of bad. I mean, I've seen DWIs and marriages that are wrecked because of it. Now, alcohol is not a part of my message today. It's not. But the point is I want people that are not different here than out there. I want you pursuing, and it might take a little bit to, you know, start learning to get your mind changed, and it only will happen through the Word of God. Say amen to that. Remember that story of I was around Canyon or Amarillo, and we were having huge college services in those days, and I'll never forget this one service. Was a major move of God and an attack like you've never seen. And I'll just tell you honestly exactly what happened. As I'm up there and we're in a big, you know, we started at the time it was Trevor Brazil's girlfriend, now his wife. If you don't know and never heard of that name, then you probably don't know much about rodeo. He is a 26-time world champion. Very, very famous cowboy. And we were doing a Bible study when he was in college years ago. 25, 30 years. And it grew so big that the apartment complex where we were doing it made it kicked us out. There's too many people. And we went to a coffee shop in Canyon. And it only sat 30 people, but the owners were believers. Well, within 2 weeks, the town started hearing about this college service. And they started coming. And we then were asked to move because they were standing room only. And we moved to the Methodist building on the campus. I said, sure. And it sat 150. And it was a matter of a few Monday nights or Tuesday. I can't remember when we did it back then. That we outgrew it. And then we went to a gymnasium. And it was at this gymnasium that what I'm fixing to tell you happened. We were there, and I was preaching, and we would rotate several ministers. Well, I say several. There's back in that day, it was just me and Trey Johnson there. And I would do one service, then the next week he would do one, and we just rotated so we can reach more people. And this particular time, I'll never forget, as I'm preaching, I said, oh, by the way, I love the King James Parallel Bible with the Amplified. Now, I was given this Bible by a great man of God, Dennis McKinley. And I just love preaching out. It's kind of the new King James. And I'm not against that, but I just love the King James with the Parallel Amplified right beside it. And man, I loved it. Loved it. And well, when I was there, I was ministering. And all of a sudden, when I said, when you do the King James and the Amplified really just amplifies the, you know, the these, thous, and thuses, right? And when it amplifies it, then I said this. I didn't mean anything, but I said, I personally don't like the NIV version, even though a lot of people have the NIV version. But when you study it, there's a lot of scripture that you'll see in the King James that is left out. Plus, if you don't know, then you'll find out that the NIV, since there's a copyright law, were literally, and it was out in the, and everybody knew it at this time, where they were trying to take out the blood of the Bible. Anything that mentioned the blood of Jesus, because it was a little gory, right? And, well, I disagreed with that. And I said, so, I know a lot of you have the NIV. I like the King James. And a man right in this section right here stood up while I was preaching and said, I don't believe a word that you're saying. Well, you got to know me, because Tabasco started running through my body. And I don't know why I did this, but I grabbed the little, I had a podium like this. And this is how I preached. And there were 200 or 300 people there. And I don't, it was over here when I was preaching, and he was there. And I don't know why I took it, but I took it. And I dropped down, and I just placed it right there, and I said, number one, sir, you sit down in Jesus' name. You will not disrupt this service in the name of Jesus. If you've got a problem with me, you come to me after the service. Now sit down. And he did. I don't know if it was the authority of this, like, oh, I'm talking young baby believers, like, oh, they'd never seen anything like that before. Well, then all of a sudden, a lady walks in to my left sits on the front row. And I noticed her while I was singing just bawled the whole time, even during this little episode, bawling. And I just preached the word of God. And you know what happened? There were more people got saved on that one service than any other time. And I went to this girl. She was right where Howdy is sitting. And there was college kids all around her. And I'll never forget, she comes to me after the service, and everybody was bright-eyed, but here's this man starts coming as well. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, I'm going to have to fight. This isn't going to look good in front of all the college kids. But I was prepared with a couple of right jabs and then a left uppercut. She comes and I just gave my heart to Jesus. And she got saved, come to find out that she was a prostitute that worked that road. And she said something just brought her in. But listen to this, and y'all, some of y'all know this story. When she got up to me, she goes, I am so excited that I just gave my life to Jesus, and I don't feel like I ever got to be around those blankety blank, blankety blank people, blankety blank again. And these college kids, oh! I mean, I'm talking, this girl knew how to cuss, right? Here's the deal, though. She gave her heart to Jesus, and her spirit was born again, but her mouth wasn't. It had to learn how to be renewed by the Word of God, you see. So we didn't look down on her. It was a great teaching moment, but then here's this man come. You know what? He broke down and said, I don't know why I did that. And I said, well, you're forgiven, but please don't let it happen again. Because it could have been very disruptive, you see. So there's something about being led by the Spirit of God. Amen? So let's get into the Word of God really fast. And let's begin in 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. I want everybody that is there, if you have a Bible or a phone or a tablet, to say amen if you're at 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. Are you there? Now look at it with me. Therefore, my beloved brethren. Now look at me real fast. That's talking to believers. Amen? We're believers. We're brethren. And this is the Apostle Paul preaching, led by the Spirit, inspired, as the Word says, by God. Okay? And he's saying, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. And we talked about this word a lot last week, but we're going to dig into it deeper today. Because there's something about being steadfast as a Christian. Immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor, you know what your labor is? It's just doing things right. When you give your heart to Jesus, because again, he's talking to brethren, right? When you give your heart to Jesus, then praise God, the Bible says that you're then made righteous. You're made righteous. And righteousness is just doing things right, okay? So knowing that the labor, doing things right in the kingdom of God, why? Remember, you're believers. We don't operate and live in the kingdom of the world or darkness as a believer, even though you can. We want to get our minds renewed so that we operate in the kingdom of God. That's why you come to church, you see. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay? Now, this is going to help you, hopefully. The way you understand the Word of God is to understand that everything is a seed. And when you understand that even though we live in a world that is full of darkness because of Satan and his demons getting kicked out of heaven, coming down to earth, tempting Adam and Eve. They fell. That started the nature of sin, right? We know that. Well, and then, of course, thank God for redemption. Jesus came, you know, and when he came, the brutal death. Ooh, that was a tough death. Man, that freed us, covered us by the blood. I mean, that sin does not abound anymore. We have authority over sin as a believer in Jesus, but not without him. Without him, ooh, it's going to be tough. So we live in a world that is full of darkness. We see it all the time. But we're to not live of the world, right? Why? Because we're living in the kingdom of God. So when you labor and you come to church and you start confessing the word of God over a trial and tribulation, that's how you're supposed to live. And you confess the word, and if you believe the word of God, which is truth, more than the facts of what's going on in this world, the truth always overrides the fact, you know. Well, that's what this is talking about at the very first part of 58 when it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. And we're talking about primarily this morning when someone, a believer, is going through a trial, a tribulation, an attack from the enemy. When that man stood up in front of everybody and started yelling during a service, number one, you realize that's out of order, right? It's out of order. It only brings confusion and chaos when someone does that. But yet it happens all the time in churches, it seems like. And there's an authority here, y'all, that will draw a lot of people to the Lord Jesus. But it also ticks off the devil. And when it ticks off the devil, those people can't stand it and they'll leave. And don't be concerned about that. But when the enemy is trying to disrupt, then authority has to be taken. You've got to take authority. If not, you'll have a very chaotic service, right? And you may start seeing that in these last days where someone comes in and, well, of course, the ushers are there. I mean, they're ready. And I'm telling you, if they come in, then we need to discern it first, operate in love. We need to try to get them born again and freed from that spirit of darkness first. But if they don't yield to the Spirit of God, then they cannot disrupt this service. Mm-mm. Not with me here, and not with Howdy here, and not with Ricky here, not with Rusty. Uh-uh. I'm talking Rusty. Well, he's got a new hip, y'all. Or is it knees? I don't. Whatever it is, he's got a new body, y'all. And, you know, not out of love, we just want to do things proper, you know. Because if someone's focus is on that, not good. We got to be steadfast. I've got so many stories that has happened in ministry. Wow. You remember me telling you at a ministers' conference, and I'm the head, the president of the Cowboy Ministers Network. Hundreds of ministers come to our conference in February. I'm in charge of it. I'm getting all the speakers lined up right now. And here comes a man. Remember that? Wearing high heels at a minister's conference. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Remember? High heels. Well, guess what everybody did? Being rodeo ministry people or Western, they go, uh-oh. And he sat down. And I mean, praise God. Well, being the leader, since the attention was directed at him, they was expecting me to do something. I said, well, let's just wait and let the Spirit of God deal with him. It's a whole lot better that way. Even in marriages, you don't have to try to preach to your wife or husband. Just let the Spirit of God deal with them. It's a lot better that way. Well, finally, about the fourth speaker, and we take a break, and he's outside, and he's got this suit on with high heels. And I'm talking, these heels were impressive for any woman to be wearing. I mean, they made him like 4 foot taller. They were high heels. And so here he comes to me. And I said, hey, I need to talk to you. And I said, let me ask you some questions. I said, number one, do you believe you're a man or a woman? You know what he said? I'm a man. That's confusing, right? Because I've never seen many men wear heels. Not high heels, anyway. I said, well, you realize that women wear heels and men don't. So it's very confusing to a lot of people right now. But then the Spirit of God brought this revelation to my mind to minister to him out of love. I mean, because we wasn't looking down on this guy in a judgmental way. Well, you wasn't supposed to anyway, right? It was trying to come in, but I just wanted to see who this guy was. Why in the world does he have heels on? And this is what the Lord told me to minister to him about. I said, well, you know, I said, are you a minister? He said, yeah, I have about 6 people that I minister to. I said, great, praise God. I said, and is Jesus the Lord of your life? He said, absolutely, Jesus is Lord. Remember that? I said, well, here's the issue then. I said, because you have high heels on, I said, the attention is all on you and not on Jesus. That's a very important statement right there, right? Because if all the attention is on self, then it cannot be on the Creator, the Savior, Jesus. And I said, since you have high heels on, that we're really, women wear high heels, sir. And you're a man? I said, it's very confusing, and all the attention is on you and not on Jesus. And he stepped back and said, you know, no one's ever ministered to me like that. Now, he didn't take the heels off. He left, though. I didn't ask him to. We wanted to love on him. But you see, the thing is a lot of weird things happen out there in the world that you've got to be prepared for. Because there's a lot of trials and tribulations that happen in our life. Not right now. We have an amazing anointing right now that we're all in agreement of. And it's Jesus, the anointed one, that's here. But when you leave this ranch, then you have the temptation to go be in the midst of a lot of trials and tribulations and attacks from the enemy. John Jernigan this morning, they called me, some of you know. He's our head usher. And he was dizzy at 5 a.m. and couldn't stand up and begin to puke, and they rushed him to the hospital. So I lift him up in Jesus' name from the top of his head to the soles of his feet and call him healed. Well, that's an attack, you see. They're trying to determine if it was a stroke or whatever. Well, you know what? I believe the report of the Lord. And that the doctors have wisdom to figure out what it is so we can come against whatever it is. In Jesus' name. Okay. Steadfastness is very important because you have to have an unchanging loyalty, number one. That is a firm, unwavering devotion to God, to His Word, and to His covenant. A covenant is the promise. When you're steadfast through a trial or a tribulation, you have to have the loyalty. I try to teach that to a lot of married people. There's something about being loyal to each other. I ministered to that a little bit, you know, here recently about honor. If you lose honor for your wife or you lose honor for your husband because they've made a mistake, you're going to have issues. But man, when you overlook some of the faults of a human being, then it's unwavering, man. You just have a loyalty. That's who God put in my life. And thank you, Lord, that you gave me Jamie Ross. And man, I appreciate that. I have such a loyalty to my wife. And I pray she's got a loyalty to her husband. Say amen louder.
Amen. Amen.
So the first thing we need to be steadfast is an unchanging loyalty, which is again a firm, unwavering devotion to God, to His Word, and to His covenant. Number two, we have to have a resilience. When you're steadfast and you're going through something, we've got to be resilient. You know what that is? Just the ability to endure. I mean, some of the word uses that word suffering. That's just a trial and tribulation, y'all. The ability to endure suffering, to endure doubt. Because doubt comes to a mind. You just got to cast out that negative doubt in Jesus' name. A culture pressure without falling away. You got to be like an anchor, y'all. I'm staying hooked with my God. No matter what. I might not understand what's going on in my life, but I am standing with my God. And then He gives you revelation of how to get out of it. Praise God. Number three, you've got to have a firmness in action. A firmness in action. In other words, being immovable in following Christ. The good work, praise God, because following Christ is the gospel. That's the good news, you see. And we've got to be firm in that. That's what this is talking about. Immovable, praise God. And then number four, we've got to have God's character. God's character. You know what God's character is? God's own love is described as steadfast. It's described. His love is described as steadfast, meaning it's a merciful, loyal, and unfailing love commitment that He has for us. So we've got to have the same. When you go through someone hurting you, forgive them, y'all. And remember the scripture that says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not the person you're wrestling against that's done you wrong. It's the spirit that's behind it. Okay? And then finally, as I close, number five. We've got to be rooted in grace. Say amen to that, y'all. We've got to have grace for people. You know what true steadfastness is? It's established and strengthened by God's grace. Not just our effort, but the grace of God. He doesn't hold anything against us. Thank God. Oh, man, if He did, none of us would make it, right? I mean, there would be, we could find a fault. But man, not our God. He's full of compassion and mercy, grace. And I'm not talking about some have used that word greasy grace. I'm not talking about, well, you know, God forgives, so I'm going to just keep sinning. You know, because I'm under the blood. He's already forgiven me. That's what the preacher said. But I'm going to keep sinning. No, don't do that. Because the wages of sin's death. It can be a spiritual death and a physical death. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians, give the devil no place. I mean, no, we're in a different kingdom, remember? And this will help you, because then when you make a mistake, which there's times that we do, right? We don't do it on purpose, but if you do make a mistake and you get angry, understand that there's grace. We're not going to hold it against you unless you just keep being an angry person and you don't submit to the steadfastness that you should live by. You know, and then people don't want to be around you. And then you wonder why you don't have, you know, you're not a friendly person. Listen. Do you realize that Daniel was steadfast when he refused to compromise his faith in the lion's den? Do you realize that Job was steadfast when he remained faithful despite immense loss? He lost his whole family, his possessions. Abraham, he didn't waver, y'all, in belief concerning God's promise. The Apostle Paul, whoo, Jesus. You read any of his books, and he was in Mamertine prison when he wrote the book of Philippians and mentioned joy 17 times. He's in prison. But he stood through many hardships. And then finally, Jesus. Jesus. The ultimate example of being steadfast, remaining obedient to the Father through the betrayal and the crucifixion. I don't know about you, but this is good news. That means we can, man, we got hope. We make a mistake, there's grace. Just quit doing it. God, help me. Help me. Strengthen me in this area. Right? And then you're the victor and not the victim. That's where we need to get to. We need to get to being a victor. There it goes again. It's just my luck. It happened again. No, get that luck word out of your vocabulary, first of all. We're blessed, not lucky. Amen? We're blessed. So when you start changing, steadfast. So the next time you're tempted to go through a trial and tribulation, it's not that the trial and tribulation will immediately leave. No, just handle it correctly. Get through that trial and tribulation. Because they're going to come to all of us. All of us. All of us have a temptation to lose it at times. Something happens, get on through it. Amen? And if you do, that's being steadfast. Amen? All right. I want you to bow your head and pray this prayer with me. Pray this prayer and then I'll explain it. I want everybody to pray it. I want you to say out of your mouth, out loud where your ears can hear it, and say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is my Lord, is my Savior. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of every sin. I believe you, Jesus, my Savior, my friend, has been raised from the dead. And because of this prayer, I'm saved. Going to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I'm here, I need a Savior. And I'm willing to learn. In Jesus' name I pray. No one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it and you asked Jesus to come into your life for the very first time this morning, I'm talking about if you die, and I believe it'll be when you're old, praise God. You've got to have confidence of where you're going. And the Bible says there's two places, heaven and hell. If you just ask Jesus to come in your heart and be your Lord, then you're going to bust heaven wide open when you leave this earth. But if you choose not to receive Jesus, you didn't pray that prayer, you don't want to have anything to do with this God stuff, then God's going to have to say, that day that you stand in front of Him, called the Great Judgment Day, He's going to have to say, depart from me. You didn't make Him your Lord. Well, if you just prayed that prayer, I'm honored to call you my brother and sister in Christ. And Jesus is now the Lord of your life. Jesus is the Bible, y'all. He's now, that's the kingdom now you live in. We live by the Bible, and you come to church to learn it or Bible study or just getting into it, the Holy Ghost will teach you the Bible. But I suggest come to church because that's why He uses preachers for that specific reason. If you just gave your heart to Jesus with no one looking around, I want you to acknowledge that before me, not by coming to the front, right where you're sitting, or if you're watching, I want you to write us. Just write a note, I just gave my heart to Jesus. You can do it in a messenger where no one sees it. I'm not going to embarrass you. If you're here in this congregation, though, and you just prayed that prayer and you gave your heart to Jesus and you meant it and you never had asked Jesus to be your Lord before until right now, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up with boldness because we're not ashamed of Jesus being our Lord. If you just prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your life, when I say three, one, two, three, I want you to raise your hand up, let me see it, and then put it right back down. That's it. But I want you to do it with boldness, because Jesus says, if you'll confess Jesus before a man, Jesus says, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. In other words, don't be ashamed. It is an honor that Jesus is now your Lord and you're our brother and sister in Christ. So if that's you, get that hand up at the count of three. You ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Go. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you over there. Glory be to God. I'm going to hand you a Bible. And he's going to make his way just to one more. Grab that Bible. Praise God. There's going to be a Bible put in your hand. That's three or four. Hey, thank you, Lord. All right, look at me. Now listen. I have 2 minutes. It's 11. It's right up. All you got to do is look at the big clock. I want people to join our church, but if you just got a Bible, God forgive people that would leave a church where people get saved. But it happens, and I hope they go find a Bible-believing church. But if you just got a Bible, you gave your heart to Jesus, you're my sister, you're my brother in Christ. When I hurt, I need you. Because preachers hurt too. The attacks we're under, of course I don't care. I had to learn that, y'all. My dad taught me that. I don't give a crud. He said it different. And he was not a cussing man, was he? Mm-mm. He had to get my attention though. He said, you know, I don't give a crud attitude. Not that you don't care, but you don't care to where it moves you to depression, to suicide, to loneliness, to all that junk. So there's been times when people come against me, and they don't know that I say that to myself. I'm not moved by that. Uh-uh. That's not going to move me. I'm not going to quit, right? That's what the devil wants. Just go quit. Go. Not going to do that. But when I hurt, I need you because we're family. Amen. When you're hurting, though, you got a big family. Not to bring guilt and condemnation to you for doing something wrong. I don't believe in that. No, just say, hey, whatever I can do to help you. Here's some encouragement, man. Let nothing proceed out of your mouth but that which would edify the listener. You know, start talking right. Amen. Thank y'all for being here this morning.